Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nice to have you with us again. I am Doug Llewellyn, and I'm excited to be here because we have a guest who has been with us before who is remarkably informed on this subject, an expert on it. And she deals with something that could become a problem that almost everybody is worried about. And when you think about it, three of the most feared, unpredictable phases of life are, or include, becoming a caregiver for someone, losing your own memory, which that is really scary, or needing your care yourself. They are three of the most unpredictable and feared phases of your life. Someday we will all face the inevitable dilemma of probably being a caregiver. The options we have to keep aging parents, spouses, and loved ones at home or place them in a care home can be really overwhelming and quite daunting. And the experience leads to a lot of stress and unexpected tragedies. There is one exceptional woman who is paving the way to share proven solutions and resources for caregivers and for aging parents, and she is our guest today. She's been our guest before, and we are delighted to welcome her back again. Her name is Pamela Wilson. Pamela D. Wilson, Inc. is her firm. She's based in Golden, Colorado. But to tell you about her, she is a proven and trustworthy caregiving expert, advocate, and speaker. And she's the author of a book called The Caregiving Trap. Her brand, The Caregiving Generation, or The Caring Generation, began with a radio program of the same name that she did. All of the help she provides is internet-based, which makes it so accessible to everybody. Her mission is to reach as many caregivers and aging adults as possible who are unaware of the proper solutions to the overwhelming challenges that caregiving presents. Family caregivers, you know, they think they can handle all the issues, when the reality is caregiving is a lot more complex than they ever imagined. For over 20 years, Pamela has owned and operated three successful caregiving businesses, one of them focused on providing in-home caregivers to help aging adults stay at home. And the second, she was legally responsible for disabled and aging adults. She managed medical needs and coordinated the day-to-day care of clients in her role as a court-appointed guardian, medical and financial power of attorney, and care manager. And then a year ago, she transitioned from being on call 24/7 to managing client care to offering caregiver courses and resources that are accessible online and easy to use. Her caregiver website, with all kinds of content written exclusively by her, eases the worry and frustration of family members who are looking for help, and they want trustworthy solutions online. She has 20 years of experience in this arena. She knows what she's talking about. She's highly experienced, and it really is a delight to have her back on the air with us. Her name, again, is Pamela Wilson, and she is based in Golden, Colorado, where it's a golden morning today. Am I right? Nice?
You are right. It is beautiful today in Colorado.
Well, that is so great. As I mentioned before, I love the name Golden, Colorado. It's so gorgeous out there. You know, we talked before, Pam, but for listeners who may not know you, I've given a little brief description of your role as a caregiving expert. But let me ask you something. If you look at your name, the legal, you have so many initials behind your name. Define what they mean for me, because you are obviously highly educated, but what do those letters all stand for? Take me through it.
You know, the letters are, I have a love for education and a love for research. So I have a bachelor's degree from the University of Nebraska in Omaha, and then my master's is from Colorado State. And both of those were business management, organizational development, how to work with people. Then on top of that, because of my professional work, I am a certified guardian through the National Guardianship Association. And what that really does is it taught me a lot of standards, guidelines, how to work within the healthcare system, how to advocate for clients, and really how to help consumers understand what their responsibilities are if they are a court-appointed guardian, if they are a medical power of attorney, and if they are a financial power of attorney. Then one more, the CSA is a certified senior advisor. And that is a designation that covers everything else. So health insurance, Medicare, Medicaid, knowledge of everything that aging adults go through as we become older and as we need care.
Well, thank you very much. I feel much better now. You know, I'm prompted to ask you, what got you interested in this field to begin with? Were you forced to be a caregiver at some point, or what?
Well, I was. From a very young age, my mom was a family caregiver, and she would take me around to visit everyone, grandparents, aunts, and uncles. So I loved older people from a very young age. And then family circumstances. So my mom was ill from the time that I was young, and I went into a corporate career, but she became ill. I became a caregiver for her. She passed away. My father passed away. I had a sister who was killed in a car accident. My brother passed away. And after all of that loss, I thought, you know, I really need to do something with this, turn this negative into a positive. I really need to do something with this because I can help people. And so as you mentioned, for the past 20 years, I have pretty much been on call everywhere, hospital emergency rooms, nursing homes, solving caregiving problems. And because of that experience, I have seen the best and the worst of healthcare and caregiving, which is why I am so passionate that caregivers need to know what can happen. They can avoid all these pitfalls and all these negatives if they just reach out to get a little bit of help. And if they learn how to advocate, because so many caregivers are timid to argue with the healthcare system or, you know, tell a doctor that it should be this way and not that way. They're the experts on their loved ones. Who else better to advocate? And so that's why my mission is we have to make this better. I can help caregivers. They don't know what's going to happen. I do, and I can make a difference for them.
You know, it really is a fact, and I've talked to other people, you know, over the course of several years of doing this, who were caregivers, and who we've talked to, who explain how difficult it is and how little they knew of what they were in for when they became a caregiver, when their parent, their aging parent, became really ill, and they were the only sibling around to take care of them, and what a real major challenge caregiving becomes. And it's 24 hours a day for many people. It's true, they don't know what they're facing, do they? Most people.
No, they have no idea. It usually starts with some kind of an accident. So a heart attack, a 3 a.m. phone call, and then all of a sudden you are this person taking care of a parent or a spouse, and you have to learn caregiving skills. So maybe you are now helping with medications or changing catheter bags or monitoring blood pressure. Many caregivers learn by trial and error, and I focus on the error because
right,
there's just no way to know what a caregiver is getting into when they accept that role.
Well, that's where what you do it comes in and is so important, because you have online information that is kind of like a college education in caregiving. Tell me about what you've done on the website. I'm looking at your website. By the way, your website is fantastic. Anybody who's interested in this should go look it up. It's PamelaDWilson.com. PamelaDWilson.com. If you go there, rather than me do it, why don't you tell folks what they're going to find on your website?
Absolutely. So what they will find, and I'll mention that we continually update the website. I mean, every week there's new information. So it's basically, I call it Caregiving 101. There's a library there of 30 subjects, all articles that I have personally written. So there's no content on that website that I did not write. I don't you know, allow advertising or other people to come on because caregivers want their information to remain confidential. So a library of articles on the website, and then there's a membership library with more advanced articles. So there's articles, podcasts, videos. I have a newsletter. I do a free monthly support group, which is usually the first Saturday of each month. And then I have my courses. So if you click on the How I Help, there's a drop down that goes to my two courses, Stay at Home and Power of Attorney. And I even put information on there about what is a webinar, because these programs are online and they're webinar based. There's educational content that people go through and read and do exercises and fill out assessments so that I can help them identify what the gaps are in their caregiving situation so that we can improve it. The webinars are live time with me. So it's like you're watching your TV and I'm on the other end, and you on this end can come on live with me if you want to ask questions, or you can post them in the chat. But there's hours of live time with me to make sure that everyone's questions are answered. And more importantly, caregivers learn from the experience of other caregivers. So someone in the group may have had an experience with a catheter or trying to give medications that didn't work out. It's nice for other caregivers to hear those so that they know that they're not alone, because so many caregivers think that they're alone and their situation couldn't possibly be happening to anyone else. I used to have caregivers show up in my office who would be embarrassed. They would say, "Pamela, I hesitate to tell you this because it sounds horrible. My family doesn't get along. My dad doesn't want care. We're all arguing." And that's normal. It's normal in caregiving, and there's no reason to be embarrassed about the fact that there are issues. This is where I help, and this is how I help online on the website, which is PamelaDWilson.com.
Well, I must tell you, there's a lot of information there. It's as I mentioned before, it's almost like a college course in caregiving. You have research that confirms everything that you know, and there obviously is a great need for family caregiving resources. And some states, for example, Alabama is one of them, that is working on legislation dealing with the subject of caregiving. Talk to me a little bit about the provisions of that legislation and the effect that it could have on caregivers and aging adults. And it's just one example, of course, and this is Alabama. Talk about that for a couple of minutes.
It is. So I found the research last week, and so their goal is to pass this act, which is called the Family Caregivers Act, to help with individuals who are hospitalized. For example, if a person goes into the hospital wants to record the name of their caregiver in the hospital record. And then secondly, if, let's say, it's a parent who gets discharged either back home or to a nursing home, they want permission to be able to contact that caregiver to inform them what's happening with the aging parent. And then third, there's a provision, and it's a little vague. It just says that the, quote, facility, so I don't know if the facility is the hospital or the nursing home, has to provide basic instructions on care tasks. And the concern about that is, in theory, all of this sounds wonderful. My concern is it kind of takes the responsibility off of family caregivers who should be doing this already, and it enforces it. And anytime we enforce something, and this is just my opinion in healthcare, it can have negative consequences. So, you know, did anyone ask the hospitals or the nursing homes, will you instruct these family caregivers? How will you instruct them? Is there a cost associated? Do these caregivers have to mandatorily come to courses? You know, there's so much vague in this legislation. I think it's a good thing because caregivers definitely need education. But I also feel that families should talk about caregiving early. Everybody should have a power of attorney. If they did, that would take care of this legislation, because when you go to the hospital, you give a copy of your power of attorney. That person should be either your caregiver or the person who organizes your care. That should be the person who helps you when you leave, get back home, or go to a nursing home. And that should be in the hands of the consumer, in my opinion, not necessarily mandated by the government. And there was another provision that we'll talk about in a second, the Affordable Health Care Act, and this whole hospitalization penalty. Again, it's a negative thing for the hospitals that has turned out to be very negative for consumers, and actually some of my clients were affected by that.
Wow, really? You know, getting to that Alabama Act, there are some amazing statistics in there, by the way. It points out that according to AARP, Alabama's 761,000 family caregivers spent 708 million hours every year caring for loved ones, a contribution that totaled over $7.7 billion every year in unpaid care. And those caregivers were ended up performing tasks like managing finances, providing transportation, helping with bathing, dressing, and cooking meals. And according to the survey, some of those caregivers were even taking on complicated medical tasks and managing medications. Those were things once only done by doctors and nurses, and now they're being performed by family caregivers who have little or no training at all. I mean, it's a very complicated issue, no question about it. Tell me a little bit and share a story with me about how the hospital readmission reduction program affected you as a caregiving advocate and your clients. How about that?
The Act was a good idea because it's trying to help hospitals be more accountable in taking care of aging adults. But the problem is that it penalizes them for admitting aging adults for certain conditions. I had a client who was living in a nursing home, and I was her legal guardian, and I would go visit her. I showed up one day, she was gray, she was having breathing problems, and I thought, oh my gosh, she probably has pneumonia. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I've seen it. I kind of can predict these things. So we sent her to an emergency room, and I had a caregiver go with her, and the hospital said, no, no pneumonia, we're sending her back to skilled nursing. I was concerned because I knew something was wrong and nobody was addressing it. I had a caregiver pretty much live with her 24/7 for a few days, called the doctors that were associated with the nursing home. They weren't willing to do anything. Next day, I sent her back. Unfortunately, they sent her to the same hospital who said, no, there is nothing wrong with her. My client is coughing. She can't breathe. She's congested. Had a caregiver stay with her again. Next day, sent her out for the third time, but to a different hospital. The sad story is they immediately diagnosed the pneumonia. It was so advanced, and she passed away within a couple of days. And this is the dynamic that consumers don't know about. So the hospital didn't want to admit her because if she came back, they would have a financial penalty. The nursing homes don't want to send clients to the hospital because if the hospital doesn't admit them, they can't get needed care, and then they're flopping back and forth between the hospital and the nursing home, and both face financial penalties. There's this provision that either admits a patient or puts them on observation, and that was the issue with my client. They didn't want to admit her. They observed her for a few hours and sent her back. And so because of this bill over the years, I have battled with so many hospitals to try to have my clients admitted. My staff and I used to talk about the lives we saved every day because we didn't take no from hospitals or doctors. But in this case, it was unfortunate because everything that I did was a dead end, and my client ended up passing away. Very sad. What a waste of a life.
Wow. That's just one situation. Share some of the other experiences you've had with this hospital readmissions reduction program.
So hospitals here in Denver have gotten very smart, and I know the government never anticipated this, but if you were going to be fined for admitting a patient, would you not find a way around it? And they have. They have built what is called observation wings that look like you're in the hospital, but you're not. And they don't voluntarily tell patients, oh, you're not admitted, you're only here on observation, and what that means. They just, you know, keep them in the hospital overnight to try to figure out if they're going to admit them or send them back home. And so the effect on consumers is, if you are not admitted, some insurance companies require an admission and an overnight stay, two overnight stays, three overnight stays, so that you can go to, it's called, you know, a nursing home or rehab, same thing. but so that you can go for rehab to get physical therapy, occupational therapy, so that when you go back home, you're actually healthier and you don't return to the hospital. But you have to be admitted for that. If you're on observation, they're just trying to manage your condition. And they don't want to admit you if you have the conditions, or there's a few. There's pneumonia, any type of heart, so heart attacks, heart failure, if you're going in for bypass, if you're having a hip replacement or knee surgery, and if you have COPD. There's a list of conditions which are reasons why hospitals don't want to admit you. So for consumers, check out the Act. If you Google Act, you know, Healthcare Act 3025, these conditions will come up. If you have these conditions and you go to the emergency room, you have to be prepared to advocate for yourself or have a family member to fight for you to get the care that you need, because they will send you home and it could be a very bad situation for you.
Do you think that's pretty universal around the country? You were talking about Colorado, but do you think it's the same thing in Texas and in, you know, California or Carolina?
I do. I was talking to a caregiver in one of my groups a couple of weeks ago, and it was so sad. I actually did a video about this, and it's on my website. It's called Why Hospitals Aren't the Best Place for Aging Adults. And this lady said, oh my gosh, I wish I would have seen your video. It's too late. My brother went into the hospital. They refused hip surgery. They sent him back home. He was in pain. He fell again, couldn't get to his oxygen, and died. So it's all over. It's not just here in Colorado. And this is where family caregivers have no idea of their responsibility to advocate for loved ones. And this is, you know, this is the foundation for my course, is you have to speak up, you have to advocate, you have to get what you want, because the healthcare system is too busy. And with all the penalties, and, you know, some doctors don't make money, they don't even accept Medicare anymore. Consumers really have to take this into their own hands, and I'm the solution.
Well, I was just going to point out, you have online courses that address a lot of these concerns. There's so much information on your website, but then you have these online courses. Talk to me about them and what kind of information they provide, what they're for.
So the first is called Stay at Home, and the idea is that if we are proactive, we can help aging parents stay at home, or if we're the aging adult, we can stay at home. There's all these things that caregivers don't know, and sometimes we give up. So in caregiving, because we become a caregiver overnight and it's so hard, sometimes caregivers just kind of shut off the outside world. And they try to get through day by day of taking care of an aging parent, not realizing that there are all these other things that could be helpful. So falls are one of the main reasons that aging adults leave at home. There are so many solutions to falls, to prevent falls. Nutrition is another one. Hygiene is another one. Memory loss is another one. In my course, I have the caregivers identify what the problems are, and we go through a huge list of this is what the concerns are. How do you address them? How do you keep your aging parent at home? And how do you coordinate with the healthcare system to really advocate and get the care that you need? Because nobody wants to go to a nursing home. There was another research article the other day that said that aging adults fear going to a nursing home more than they fear dying. Nobody wants to go to a nursing home. That's a whole nother course that I haven't yet developed. The second course is power of attorney, which the power of attorney falls into all of this legislation. If you appoint a power of attorney, in fact, you should know what their responsibilities are, and they should know. But few people in society know. I know because I did it professionally, and I reported to the courts. People don't know what the responsibility is legally, and really it's that power of attorney who should be advocating and working with the person that appointed them to get the health care that they need. It's like having a job. It's serious. And people are named, and this document goes into a drawer for 20 years, and then all of a sudden they find out they're the power of attorney, and they know nothing about this person. This is why I was very good at what I did, because I knew more about my clients than the doctors. I would tell the doctors what I wanted done. And some of them didn't like it because they have egos. Family members are afraid to do that. They're afraid to stand up for what their loved ones need. And so both in the stay at home and the power of attorney course, this is what I teach and this is how I help.
How does one, by the way, get appointed power of attorney?
So let's say that I want to appoint someone. It's a legal process. So I'm married, so my husband is my first power of attorney. But you can either you can do it one of two ways. So you can either go to an attorney and have them draft the document or do it online. But the more important thing is the conversation before you even do that. You should talk to the person that you want to appoint and see if they're willing to be responsible. Can they devote the time? Will they take an interest in your health care? Will they know what's going on with your health care? In my power of attorney course, I actually teach my participants in my class folks how to manage care. So how to be a care manager. What I did for 20 years, I share everything with them. Because when you're choosing that person, it has to be somebody that you can trust. So I was appointed, believe it or not, as power of attorney for married couples because they didn't trust their children to show up to do the job, to not put them in a nursing home. It's like you're marrying someone. It's like you're marrying this power of attorney. And you're counting on them to show up when they need to show up and take care of you. So that's the conversation before going to an attorney to draft the document or going online to download and complete a document. And I'll go even further in the course. I tell my class folks what should be in those documents. So everything that has happened incorrectly in the healthcare system, battles that I've had with doctors, I tell them to put provisions in that power of attorney document to support those arguments. So a quick example, I know we're getting short on time, but many people who are power of attorney will show up at a hospital and the doctors don't even know what power of attorney responsibility means. Over the years, I had to explain my responsibility to the doctor, either as a power of attorney or a guardian. And when they disagreed with me, I would say, that's okay, you can disagree. I have a legal responsibility. It's me who goes before the judge and my client wants this. So we have to figure out a way to get what my client wants for their health care, regardless of what you think. How do we do that? Those are the conversations that we have to have.
Well. You know, where do people get this kind of information if they don't get it from you? I mean, you're the walking library on this. You're the source of information. It's not easy to find this. By the way, you've also written a book on it called The Caregiving Trap. That's available through your website. What do you cover in that? And we have a minute or so left. What do you cover in the book? A little bit of everything?
So very quickly, the caregiving trap is a little bit of everything. So it's, okay, you didn't know you were going to be a caregiver. Now you are. Here are the basic healthcare issues. Here's what happens with chronic disease, caregiver burnout, memory loss, what happens when you have to negotiate with doctors all the way to the end. So it's a kind of like an A to Z of the basics of caregiving.
Well, it's certainly valuable, and here again, I know that's available through your website. Is that in bookstores as well? Amazon,
it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. If you Google The Caregiving Trap, Solutions for Life's Unexpected Changes, it will come up.
Yeah, okay. Very, very good information. Pamela, thank you for taking the time. We have run through the half hour. Our guest has been Pamela Wilson. Her firm is Pamela D. Wilson, Inc. She's based in Golden, Colorado. But her website is where all the fountain of information really is. It's PamelaDWilson.com. Go there. You will be amazed at what you can learn from that one simple website. And it includes information on the courses, how to get the book, a little bit of everything. Pam, thank you for taking the time to be with us. I love chatting with you because your information is so terribly important, especially for people who all of a sudden find themselves a caregiver and they don't know what to do. You know, it happens, doesn't it?
It does. It's such my pleasure to be here, and I hope that if I've even reached one caregiver today to get them to reach out and get help, then this has been a success.
Well, I'm sure you have. That is for darn sure. Pamela Wilson, thanks so much, Pam. We look forward to having you back again. And for now, that'll wrap it up for this edition of CUTV News Radio. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We thank you for being with us and certainly hope you learned something from this broadcast because that is our intent, to provide information that can help you at some point in your life. And who knows, maybe someday you yourself may be faced with being a caregiver.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.
Take care of yourselves. Have a good day, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. See you next time. Bye for now.